Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, what? Only 4 minutes late? Three and a half, 4 minutes late? Not because Cabali was eating pizza, although we'll get to that. And he ate a lot of pizza this morning. But no, we are about 4 minutes late because Cabali sits here and plays with the background.
That's my gimmick.
Every single time. That's your thing. And I like this. I like the for the brand. You got the For the Brand hoodie on. You got the McAfee logo behind you. My friend and neighbor, Mark Cabali, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. You ate a for those of you around kids right now or who have the volume turned up, earmuff it for just a second. You ate a shit ton of pizza this morning. I want to talk about that in a second. We got to thank, Dan and Michelle and Jeremy. We occasionally do say off-color words, but we want to thank the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, for being our title sponsors. We appreciate it. And also thanks to Chelsea at the bank yesterday, who tried helping me open an account to handle the sponsorship stuff and whose computer wasn't working. I'll check in with you again later this afternoon or tomorrow, Chelsea. And the millions and millions of Cabali's dollars that will be getting funneled through that account, hopefully, will keep us above the minimums to avoid getting that monthly fee. So thank you again to Dan and Michelle Heck. You want to buy or sell a home? They are the people to help you do it. Their entire team, not just Dan, Michelle, and Jeremy, but Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all of them. They will help you get it done at Heck Team Homes. They are our title sponsors here. Just jumped on board this week as it's the first official week of February 2025. There is a big game, kaboom, on Sunday. We're allowed to call it the Super Bowl, right? As long as this isn't like an ad for something.
You got Dan Heck. Maybe they'll come after him, so you better be careful.
Okay, the big game is on Sunday night. Who you got, by the way?
I can't breathe.
You are in so much pain. So just full disclosure, table the Super Bowl talk. We got a lot to get to today. Mike Tomlin's best pal, Jay Glazer, had some interesting stuff to say last night about the quarterback situation. Our guy Mo, who goes to all the WWE events in Cleveland with a terrible towel, is supposed to check in today. It's an open forum Friday, so we'll answer as many of your comments, questions, and messages as we can get to. Whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on X or Facebook or Instagram, wherever you throw the comments and the questions up, we'll try to get to as many of them as possible. Plenty of football to talk about as well. But you were a judge in the best pizza in Pittsburgh contest this morning, Kaboom, yep. On 100.7 Star with my friends Bubba and Melanie. And how much pizza, just by weight, can you estimate how much pizza you ate this morning?
Put it this way, we had 40 different entrants, and we probably started at 7, so 2 hours and 40 pies. I didn't, obviously, you know, the second or third piece, I'm like, oh, this is a piece of cake, like a normal pie. Then it's like, uh-oh, they just kept coming. And, uh-huh. You know, Amanda can come, bringing pizza, and her people bringing pizza. I'm like, this is getting out of control. By the end, I was lucky to take a bite. It was just too much. I mean, I owed it to him to take a bite, but it was getting to the point, man, where it's like, whew. But, yeah, total weightage,
Give me pounds, like 10 pounds of pizza.
I have 40 slices. Obviously, I only took a bite out of
each one.
Then I threw the rest of it in a box to bring home because I'm a cheap ass.
Who the hell is going to eat?
My kid.
Your kid will eat the leftover pizza?
So these two boxes are filled to the top, and it has to be a combined 25 pounds.
Jesus. It's a lot of friggin' pizza, man.
It was out of control, and you got to understand, there were some not-so-large people in that room as well. You had...
I saw Jenna Harner was there, Mary Hours, Richie Walsh, all the famous TV people from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. What's her name? I forget her name, whatever.
And good job.
You had a couple legendary pizza makers. The Portnoy 8.2 gang was there.
Okay.
Of Rockaway and Slice on Broadway and Slice of New York, judging a couple other people there. It's a good time. Good time.
You're going to put that new plunger to the test this afternoon, huh, big boy?
For me, I was getting tired and tired of the kid blocking it up. I don't think my plunger was very good. So I ordered it on Home Depot, and they came and dropped off just the plunger.
Right there on the front door.
Yeah, I was like, great.
I saw your son's really proud of it. You gonna teach him how to use it properly?
He's proud of it. He's very proud. I wish he would use it. Instead, it's me.
Pizza plungers and product placement. Don't forget, you can get your Cabali and Mac t-shirts right now. We tweeted out the link. We'll have to tweet it out again later this afternoon. We have dry, wet, dry t-shirts, which, of course, is the Cabali method for making sure you properly use your dude wipes.
Yes.
And we've also got Pittsburgh Everywhere Always t-shirts available for you. And I guess we call it the Cabali and Mac store. Pittsburgh Everywhere Always, Cabali, is something I came up with. If you know Pat Damp from KDKA TV, every time he sees a picture of a Steelers jersey or a Penguins jersey or a terrible towel somewhere at an event, especially a wrestling event, he'll send me a picture of it. Okay. And so I didn't even need Pat Damp to send me a picture on Saturday night. As you know, Saturday night, we were watching the Royal Rumble. And it was in Indianapolis, and you know, there's a chance you'll see folks in the crowd. I didn't see anything on Saturday night in Indy. I'm sure there were people there in Pittsburgh gear. What I caught was Monday night, kaboom, Raw on Netflix, which was in Cleveland. Started with a solid 15 minutes of yeeting from Jey Uso, right, celebrating his Royal Rumble win, and then the music hits, dun 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 dun. Gunther walks out, and he starts
a terrible impression.
That's a Gunther. Terrible Gunther theme impression. You ready? Can you do better? Do better.
It's not.
Go ahead. Give me the Imperium theme. Go ahead, Cabali.
I'd have to hear it again.
Dun 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 dun. That's the way I hear it in my head. And then Gunther walks out, and I'm always critical of his mic skills, but you know he tears down Jey Uso a little bit. And I see in the background, you know what I see in the background, Mark? Being held up in the crowd, opposite of the hard cam location, as they call it in the wrestling business. I see somebody back there with a terrible towel, just holding up their terrible towel in the crowd. Like, this is amazing. This is awesome. In Cleveland, a terrible towel at Raw. And then a little bit later, I see a video that our guy Pat McAfee posted because he's doing the color commentary on Raw. And it's from one of the breaks where the New Day are out there talking crap on Cleveland, right? And Kofi says, we don't want to be here either. We want to get out of here as quickly as possible, just like Myles Garrett. I'm paraphrasing. And as soon as he says that, place goes nuts. Arena starts booing the New Day vociferously. And I see the towel on Raw go from being held in the stationary location, right? It goes from just being held up to whoever's got this towel is now waving it like Renegade is playing. And it's early fourth quarter of a playoff game, which we haven't had at Heinz Field in a while. But nonetheless, here nor there, we'll avoid the details. And I thought, who is that person? I need to know who this legend is that walks into a building in Cleveland with his terrible towel and goes nuts waving it. And you know what happened? You laughed at me, Cabali. You didn't think I could find this person.
I hope it's not a work.
I don't think it's a work. Mo joins us now. Mo, Is this a giant work? You were the man with the towel in Cleveland Monday night on Netflix.
Hey, Chris and Mark. No, not a work at all. I am the one in Cleveland. I've been to multiple events, hard camera side, as Chris mentioned, showing my love for them Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, no, not a work at all. It's me.
Wait. I have a question right off the bat.
Go ahead.
Over your shoulder, I think I see a Cleveland Browns flag. Other shoulder.
No. That's a post.
Over here. Other left shoulder. Your left shoulder. What is that?
What do you think you're seeing?
I'm seeing a Cleveland Browns shirt.
Oh, he's got a whole bunch of stuff.
Nothing.
No, I thought on the shelf.
No, something on the shelf?
This is a Nike box.
My shoe collection over here. It's a Nike box,
Kabali. Get off the man's back. He's a Steelers fan.
There's not a single Browns logo in this household. I don't allow it. Wow. I don't allow it. Come on, Mark.
See, Kabali tried.
From saying the Mac, does that not look like a Browns helmet?
It looks like something orange, to be honest, Mark. That's the only reason.
I just ate 40 pieces of pizza, so give me a break.
Yeah, you're in a daze right now. So Mo, do you live in Cleveland? Where do you live?
Yeah, no, I'm in a suburb of Cleveland. I grew up here actually. My family's been Steeler fans. My dad came to this country back in the 70s. Went to Kent State, met my mom. Kent State, obviously near Pittsburgh. And he just started getting into football, and Pittsburgh was an hour down the road from there. During the Steel Curtain era, and you know, he met my mom there. Unfortunately migrated to Cleveland, and this is kind of where I have to live. But
I think he's an ultimate troll, because like you said, you know the hard camera's facing you. You know you're in Cleveland. You know you're going to be on TV. And you're thinking, let me bring the old terrible towel. I don't know.
Absolutely.
What is that? Is that your sweat rag from the pizza contest?
I need it. You see me just hammering this drink. I'm so salty in the mouth now. So what I'm saying is, you're the ultimate troll. You knew that was going to be on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I've been an on and off wrestling fan since the Attitude Era, honestly. And you know, this is an example of, oh, I have my own money now. So I get on the hard camera, and he's a big wrestling fan, but he's a diehard Browns fan too. So he has to sit next to the terrible towel every single time we go. We did SummerSlam. We did this most recent one. We've done a few Raws prior to this. It's always a fun time we do it. But yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I'm a Yinzer troll living here in Cleveland, and it's fun.
I love it. It's beautiful, Mo. Kabali thinks that I don't like to do my own research, because there have been instances in the past where maybe I've been connected with people or worked with people or known people who I found out things about after the fact when Kabali investigated them for me, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The point is, he didn't think I knew to like make sure that you were legit. Like he's very Johnny Giorno on this thing, in that he likes to investigate his sources. So I went back on your Instagram feed and I saw the pictures from SummerSlam last year. How many WWE do you only go when they come to Cleveland? Is it only for the purposes of trolling people with the towel?
No, I am a genuine wrestling fan. I do only go to the ones in Cleveland. If I didn't, I have two kids. We had them recently, so haven't had much opportunity to kind of travel outside of that. So yeah, I typically go to the Cleveland shows. We love getting on the hard camera, me and my friend. And I'm not really a sign guy as much as I was when I was a kid. So I'm like, I don't know, I'm 33 years old. So I'm like, what can I do? And I'm like, you know what? We're in Cleveland. Screw it. Here's the terrible towel. I'm going to shove it in your face, and it's going to be there the whole time. And Cleveland's going to have to get used to that. And that's fine. And the best part is typically the reactions that come through Twitter. And, you know, anything that goes around that, it's hilarious. And I honestly didn't know about this situation until my supervisor at work was like, hey, Pat McAfee tweeted your towel was in the background and someone is looking for you. I'm like, that's a great text to get on the way out of the arena right there. I'm like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like, I'm going to have the mob at my house when I get home. Like, you know,
sorry, that was just me, Mo.
No, it was great. No, it turned out to be a great thing. And I'm glad we were able to connect. And I was able to kind of tag you on Instagram after the show. So it worked out great.
I'm kind of jealous of Cleveland. They get SummerSlam and Raw, and we get the holiday show.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Pittsburgh gets left in the dust wrestling. But I don't know why. You guys haven't gotten a major pay-per-view. This was our kind of first one, SummerSlam. That was our first one in a while, and they had to advocate for it for a long time. People were the rumor of SummerSlam was for years, so it took a while for us to get something.
Maybe so, last pay-per-view, Mick Foley got thrown off the...
Yeah, I was going to say, we're still living on the fumes of Hell in a Cell 98 down
here. I was there.
True Yinzer's living in the past. I get it. I'm here for you.
Just like living in the past with the Steelers, right? So I got to ask then, Mo, if you're a wrestling fan as well, who, when you're there, who gets you to pop the loudest?
Oh, Punk. Absolutely. Okay. You know, like growing up, it was Stone Cold. That's kind of how I got into it. I mean, obviously I started at the greatest era for wrestling, but
yeah,
Punk gets the biggest pop out of me. I mean, his story from the moment he dropped the pipe bomb in 2011 to, the big podcast in 2014 with Colt, all the way up into his return and finally getting to wrestle again for WWE was, it's a crazy story. So it definitely got my attention. I love his, you know, he's very brash. He's a very, very good wrestler. And I think the match on Monday night with him and Sami Zayn was stellar. It was great. It was, and I paid much, much less to watch Monday night than I did at SummerSlam. So that was good.
Well, the correct answer should have been who gave you the biggest pop was Pat McAfee. You know,
Of course. No, I was hoping, you know, I had the towel. I was like, man, I hope Pat mentioned something about it, but subliminally doing it through the video, I'll take that as well. That's fine. But yeah, Pat gets a pop out there.
Can you guess Mac's favorite wrestler who he pops off for?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's purely perverted, so go ahead.
It's not perverted.
Oh, man.
He's an old man.
Female wrestler? Or?
Of course.
Oh, man. Raw?
No, SmackDown.
Well, she's a little bit crossover. Who knows nowadays, right?
I guess she's crossing over. She's got a SmackDown Bailey? Title. No.
Oh, Chelsea Green?
Oh, I love Chelsea. Chelsea's the best.
Too. Chelsea's best. Yeah.
That's my U.S. title holder. Yes. I'll be honest. No, Tiffy. When it's Tiffy time, this man is parked in front of the couch. Nobody talks. We focus on what Tiffy has to say, but more so what Tiffy's doing. And just we soak it all in, the visual. Tiffy, Liv, Alexa Bliss. I guess I have a type. But yeah. So yeah. Kabali likes to make fun of me for it, but I appreciate her skills.
Tiff's nice. I totally understand. I'm with it. I also like Liv Morgan. I'm kind of on the heel side when it comes to that stuff. When
it's more fun that Liv, way.
When Liv beat Rhea, I mean, yeah, Liv in here, I'm a natural heel. But yeah, Liv winning at SummerSlam got a huge pop out of me because everyone's going for Rhea, and I'm like, man, Liv's got heat right now. Like, if she pops off and wins this would be crazy huge. So yeah, I'm definitely on the heel side when it comes to certain things.
Yeah,
hey, Mac, what do you think? Think we should ask him about the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation?
Let's do it. We'll do this, and then we'll let you run, Mo, because we're going to talk about. I don't know if you saw the video yet. Mike Tomlin's best bud in the media is Jay Glazer.
Oh, it's me.
No, you're number two on the list.
You're right there,
number two, you're right.
Exactly. and I guess Glazer said last night there's no he does not expect it to be Russ. And he didn't sound very positive about Fields coming back either, which some people would, you know, interpret as coming from the source itself because he's so close with Mike T. So if I put Mo in charge, I sit you next to Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin next week as they're getting ready for the combine. Who should the Steelers quarterback be in 2025?
Well, if I'm actually talking with both of them, we have to talk about Tomlin's job first and foremost.
True answer.
I'm joking. That's a Rooney situation there. But either way, when it comes to quarterback, I think you just have to look at what's available in the free agent market. And it's just like last year. I don't think there's not much elite talent that enters the free agency. So what's our only option here? It's like, do you want Russell? Do you want Justin? I think what I think they're going to do, I mean, it's going to be contrary to what Jay said, but I do think Russell is coming back. He is the pocket passer. He's a little bit mobile. I mean, he's later in his years for sure, but Personally, I'm okay with rolling the dice on Justin Fields. He's young. He's got the legs. Give him a mentor. I mean, clearly, I know Russell was mentoring him, but Russell knew he had the job. So nothing really changed on that. But I'm rolling the dice with Justin. I think you have a good opportunity here with two quarterbacks. Just pick one. I mean, clearly we were in quarterback purgatory after Ben left. We knew that was going to happen too. So we have a first round talent in Justin Fields. Let's just roll the dice with him. What's the worst that could happen? We rolled it with Kenny. It didn't work. We just move on. That's it.
Worst that could happen is they once again win 9 or 10 games, Mo, and they're drafting 20th overall again after an ugly wild card loss. But that's become our life. Yeah. Dude, we got to thank you for taking the time this morning. Seriously. Thanks for reaching out on social media. I'm glad we were able to connect. You win our inaugural Kabali and Mac Best Yinzer of the Week award. You might even win the whole month of February already. It might be in the bag. So we'll keep an eye out for the Terrible Towel at future WWE events or anything that may be happening in Cleveland. And take care of yourselves and those two little ones. And congratulations. Yinzer of the Week, if not the month, Steelers fan Mo in Cleveland. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for having me. You guys have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. I told you I'd find him, Kabali. You didn't believe me, but I told you I would find him.
Shouldn't we be saying, Mo? Get it? You know.
Welcome to Mo's?
No.
Always like, back to food.
After a guest leaves the McAfee show, everybody goes, Mo!
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, Mo.
Mo was great.
Yeah, we probably should talk about the Stillers.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Want to thank another one of our sponsors, Southwest Greens of Pennsylvania, southwestgreenspa.com. Go there today. Find out all the things you can do when you don't have to worry about taking care of your yard 24/7. Whether you're just simply looking for, like, I don't know, maybe a playground for the kids in the backyard, maybe something for your pets. Yeah, you can do turf for your pets. Maybe you just, you're tired of doing all the lawn care stuff. Jake at southwestgreenspa.com is the man. Reach out to them, southwestgreenspa.com. You go there today, and they're going to tell you all the stuff they can do because it is a lot to just improve the overall look and quality of your yard because we're getting to that time. It's going to be spring and then soon summer. You're going to want to spend more time outside. You like your patio. You like your deck. You want to spend time out there, but then you look at your yard and you're like, this thing's a damn disaster. How do I fix it up? Go to southwestgreenspa.com. While you're there, check out all the stuff they have. Not just, look, maybe you're a golf fanatic and you want to be able to putt in your backyard. Hell, they can do that. Like I said, they can set it up for your pets, for your kids, all of it. southwestgreenspa.com is the spot to go. I want to play the Jay Glazer clip in a couple of minutes, Kabali. But we promised an open forum Friday, so we should probably answer people's questions. You got a ton for your mailbag for the Pat McAfee piece that you write every single week. So we could dive into some of those. We could dive into any other ones that are jumping out at you in the comments. There are other people. Maybe we start here because Robert on YouTube mentioned that there is quote unquote pushback, I'll use that term, on the whole Russell Wilson, Arthur Smith saga that is bouncing all over the media over the last 3 or 4 days. We talked about it the other day, but now you have other people saying, no, it's not like that.
So you're putting up the plunger thing.
Well, that's just so people can appreciate it while we're talking, because I think the plunger thing is hysterical. But the Arthur Smith thing, can we clarify this for once and for all? It's not necessarily, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson were at each other's throats. It's just that they didn't see eye to eye on the way the offense should be constructed and executed, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's the case, but the question is not that, more than where did the directive come from? Is this Arthur Smith getting, you know, but cap because of Russell wanting to do his own thing, or is that Mike Tomlin telling Arthur Smith to stick to the program, right? We don't know this, and that makes a huge difference in my opinion of where it came from. I mean,
Well, either way, it wouldn't portend a return for Russ, right? Like, if I'm Russ, I don't want to come back if I'm going to have to argue with Artie and Mike all the time about what the offense looks like.
There's a lot of talk going around of who's staying, who's coming, who's going. I mean, so I hate to even throw it out there, but, I mean, I heard that they haven't shut the door on Russ. I mean, I at this moment, right now, as we sit here on whatever today is, Friday, February 7th, mm-hmm. I would not be shocked if Russ comes back.
Man, this is.
I'm just telling you what.
I think that if it ends up happening, I think it's a staying together for the kids kind of deal, for lack of a better analogy. Like, hey, should we break up? No, because then I'm going to take half everything. You're going to take half everything. We should probably just stay together, right? Okay.
These thoughts of. We don't want this guy. We don't want this guy. Why in the world, if you're an organization, even say that, you know, off the record? You still have one. I mean, you would take one or the other. The last thing you need is not to have either one of them. And that's not the case. I mean, I don't care what Jay Glazer said. I don't think that's 100% true of what he said. I think a lot of, I mean, there's many of things that he says about Tomlin we just take for absolute granted. That's gospel. And we've learned from what last year he was getting traded that that's just not the case. Some people that were leaving, that's just not the case. So he's not 100% accurate all the time on his, just because he's buddies with Mike Tomlin, he's throwing it out there. The Steelers cannot go and say, we don't want this guy anymore. We do want this guy. Because what if the guy you wanted goes somewhere else? Then you're left out in the they just don't approach business that way. You just say, okay, we're going to try to talk to both of them, and then we'll choose depending on the salary structure and whatever else who we want. We prefer somebody,
right?
But that doesn't mean we're just saying absolutely not. We don't want this guy. Absolutely not. We don't want this guy. That's just not the case. No.
So, for sake of, since we dove down this rabbit hole, I'll just play the Glazer thing so people can hear it for themselves. He was on Matthew Berry's show yesterday, Matthew Berry, the fantasy expert on NBC Sports yesterday. And again, Glazer is Mike Tomlin's, would you dispute this, Mark, Mike Tomlin's best media bud if he has one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, unless you count Tony Dungy, but.
Okay. Well, yeah, he used to work for Tony years ago, so that would make sense too. Here's what Glazer had to say when the idea of the Steelers quarterback situation came up.
Obviously, he's had a long career and going back to free agency. Pete Carroll, I mean, this is kind of connecting dots.
That ain't going to happen.
That one's over, right?
That's not going to happen.
That one's over. Do you think it's more likely Russ goes back to the Steelers? Because the ending there was also a little weird too. So just a new start for Russ.
I think you'll see a new start for Russell somewhere else.
Yeah,
especially who is the starting quarterback of the Steelers? You think it's Justin?
I got
or you
no
think
idea.
It's somebody?
I don't know. And again, these guys are the Senior Bowl. I was texting with Mike Tomlin the other day. He's the Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
like right. They're thinking about. Yeah. So they can compartmentalize only so much. So Senior Bowl, right? And then all of a sudden, next week they have combine meetings, right? And so they're going to start talking about free agency and what's out there. But I don't think they know who their starting quarterback's going to be yet.
They don't know who their starting quarterback's going to be yet, but very dismissive of the idea of Russell Wilson, A, going to Vegas to reunite with Pete Carroll, but also dismissive of the idea of Russ coming back. And didn't sound exactly all in on Justin Fields coming back either. Now, again, you're right. I agree that there's no way that they can put all their business out in front of everybody. And it just, it wouldn't make sense. It's not the way you do business. But I do think that if there's a little bit of conversation behind the scenes between Mike Tomlin and Jay Glazer, Glazer's going to lean in that direction. And maybe that's just indicative of the way Mike Tomlin feels right now. Like, hey, I don't think we can run it back with Russ. Maybe with Justin, but I don't know. Let's see what's out there.
Didn't the owner say about a week ago that if it was up to him, he would bring what he would like to bring one of them back?
Yeah.
So we dismiss this right now as him lying, him not having to say so in anything. I mean, we tend to forget that because it happened a week ago. I'm just – I just don't – I mean, the Justin Fields, he didn't seem to – he was wishy-washy on that one. And what I wanted to get to, and now I think about it on that comment, is – if they're compartmentalizing the Senior Bowl and the Combine and saying, man, we just haven't got around to who our quarterbacks yet, that's a huge problem.
That's my point here. I think that's – and that's – I'm glad you brought it up. That's the biggest problem here. The idea of compartmentalizing, oh, it's Senior Bowl. I can only go to Mobile and look at seniors and playing in the Senior Bowl. And then we'll go to the Combine and we'll look at guys at the Combine. And then all of a sudden we'll look up and it'll freaking be March 12th and we'll go, what should we do about the quarterback position? Exactly. That can't be true, right? I hope it's not true.
It can't be true. It's not.
It has to be find a quarterback season today. And I know you can't firm it up and finalize things because both these guys are going to want to hit free agency. But, like, it has to be find a quarterback season now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they've had talks. They've had talks about what they want to do, and they probably have a plan into place. In our best-case scenario, we want this guy, then this guy, but let's keep our eyes open in the draft for this. But don't tell me they haven't even thought about the quarterback position until they get back from the combine in the middle. I mean, we can – I mean, you come back from the combine March 5th, something like that, so you got about a week. Let's see our quarterbacks. No, it just doesn't work that way. So, I mean, that's one thing that you can just cross off of not being true. So, if that's not true, why are we believing the other stuff as gospel?
I'm not believing anything as gospel. I just think what Glazer says can be indicative. That's all.
I agree. I mean, they obviously talk, but Tomlin's smart enough to know. And even, I mean, Glazer's even said this before when he gets scoops. I think he said that to J.J. Watt. When he had that heart palpitation, he broke the story, but JJ, he checked with JJ's people to make sure it was okay for him to run it. And JJ Herbin tweeted it out. So he was checking with people. What I'm saying is he probably would check with Tomlin and say, hey, I'm going to put this out there. You know, is that okay? I mean, he might say, okay, but I think Tomlin knows what he's telling him.
Here's the analogy I would use. Both of us have young kids. Kids like to color, right? When I used to color when I was a kid, I would outline the whatever I was coloring with whatever color I was going to use, right? And then I'd go back and I'd lightly color in. I was very like, what do they call it? I was very meticulous when I would color. Meticulous. Jesus, I can't use words today. And so what Glazer is giving us is the outline. The rest of it can be filled in however you want to fill it in, but the outline of they're a maybe on Fields and probably not interested in Russ, or not, I shouldn't say not interested, not excited about Russ. Like, I totally believe that they're not excited about bringing Russ back. They're intrigued at the idea of bringing Fields back, and that's the story.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the comment by Bill Rowland.
Bill, one of my guys from the BetMGM network. I do like football and Wangs. It's a big weekend for Wangs.
I thought you meant something else.
Oh, that's why it's funny, you goofs.
Oh, he's mean.
Why it's
wings.
Ironic.
Oh, man, I'm thinking, I don't know.
No, it was supposed to be funny.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, Seinfeld. Okay, let's go back.
I got you totally thrown off your game now.
You do. Let's go back through the comments and let's check the mailbag. Do you want to do that?
I guess.
Okay.
The guy that says I'm right.
Yeah, of course you're excited. Body by Tacos made a good point of mentioning that you see the color orange and you instantly lose your mind. You're ready to jump down poor Mo's throat. Over a Nike box in the background. You thought it was a Browns helmet.
Orange and black to me, and he was trying to work us. I was skeptical.
Troy, everything comes back to the quarterback now. Troy says, I agree with giving Fields a shot and look toward a franchise quarterback then if Fields does not pan out. Yeah, I think we're all riding along in very similar boats.
Yeah, I want to find that quarterback too, but tell me who it is. Tell me where to find him at.
That's the problem. There are none out there right now.
There's probably none in the draft, and there's no guarantee there'll be one next year that you're going to draft and choose correctly. So, I mean,
what's the closest thing available? A first round draft pick who you have first hand knowledge of, right?
I agree, but I'm telling you, I think let's say hypothetical, but maybe not hypothetical, that Art Rooney prefers Russell Wilson, and Mike Tomlin prefers Justin Fields. How's that shake out?
That's a great question. I think Art backs down.
Between the lines.
I think Art backs down and defers to the coach because the coach is on the field every day. I mean, doesn't that seem like the way Art goes about his business? Like, hey,
I don't
here's
know
what I think, but you're the expert.
He has an image what he portrays to the outside world. I don't know how he does behind closed doors. It's just those two are for Omar. He's told people to fire people in the past. I mean, he said, hey, get rid of Arians. Hey, get rid of LeBeau. Hey, get rid of Haley or whatever. He's done that. But hey, get rid of Joey Porter. He's done
those
that.
Those are all Art?
I think those are all Art. He doesn't want you to know it's Art. But if I was a guessing man, more than a guessing man, those are directives. Well, I mean, Arians even said that he thought he was told he had the contract extension and the raise. Then all of a sudden, a little bit later, it's like, nah, you're gone. Where's that? I mean, he said that publicly, Arians, on his whatever 30 for 30 or whatever it is. That tells me that.
So you think Art's got a little more Jerry Jones in him than
think,
he lets on?
I think he does, but he doesn't want to have that public image.
Man.
He don't even want to be in the same conversation, same sentence as Jerry Jones and Wade.
No, nobody does.
But I don't think he just sits there and says, oh, I don't know. Do what you want. No.
Well, this is Barry in the lead here, Kabali. The fact that Rooney is a whole lot more involved is...
You never viewed it that way.
Look, I think I think he has his preferences, right? I don't see him as being a big button pusher behind the scenes, though. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm buying it. I've told you before when we talk about wrestling, maybe I'm marking out too much here. Maybe I'm buying into the storyline too much. I'm buying into the facade that he puts out there. Maybe Art Rooney is a whole lot more Jerry Jones than he is Art Rooney.
Well, I would much rather take the Art Rooney that does it behind closed doors than a Jerry
I would too.
Outside, but I mean, it just with coaches' contracts, right? I mean, you think there's any time over the past 17, 18 years that Mike Tomlin's like, I want to get rid of this guy, and Art will be like, well, he's still under contract, right? I mean, it's happened, it had to happen once or twice, right?
Yeah, I've never stopped, I'll be honest, and this is just ignorance on my part. I've never stopped once and considered. Oh, that's definitely Art pushing the buttons behind the scenes. Like, I've never thought of him that way. I just haven't. And maybe I'm granting him too much of the benefit of the doubt that, like, I don't think his dad did that a ton either. I think his dad put people in positions to make decisions for him that he trusted.
I mean, let's not blow this out of proportion. I mean, I think there might be things that were important to him. Occasionally, I'm not saying he's nowhere near like saying he's running everything behind the scenes. No,
and when I say he's more like Barry, I don't mean I'm not meaning to say Art Rooney is just like Jerry Jones. He's not. Jerry Jones is, I've said before, I think batshit crazy, and runs his organization like it. But I think just the thought of, hey, maybe Art puts his finger on the scale a little bit more than any of us really ever thought about. Would be something completely new and different for me to wrap my head around.
On certain subjects that he probably feels strong about. I mean, if Mike Tomlin comes to him and says, I want to hire Brian Flores, he's like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
But if he says, nah, you know what, Mike, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we know who gets his way then.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Right?
You think he's excited about going to Ireland next year? They just dropped that this morning.
I know it's September. I think it's September 20 something or so, just right around the end of September. They're going over there. I don't know who they're playing at, right? Buffalo, maybe?
No, they haven't officially announced. There's people that think it's going to be Green Bay, but making Green Bay go international 2 years in a row would be an interesting decision. I don't know.
Where are they playing at in Ireland?
Dublin.
Croke Park.
Dublin.
Maybe I should get my passport updated.
You probably should do that. Yeah. Takes a couple.
Dublin. Maybe I can go hang out with the boys.
You could. Pat's been known to have a pint or two in Dublin before a ball game.
I mean, it isn't a home game here.
It is.
Got an extra game, so.
Yeah, I mean, losing the home game I don't think is a big deal. If it's just one home game and it's in Ireland and the Rooney family connection to Ireland and all that. And
you're asking everybody else in the league to lose a home game. I'm pretty sure the majority, if not every single team, has lost a home game.
But the Steelers have, to be honest, though, they have gotten away with traveling overseas much less than other teams.
Yeah, like, instead they get Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's. And
I mean, I think, again, not to guess too wildly about what Art Rooney wants or doesn't want, I think he'd much rather have a sold-out Heinz Field on Christmas Day than have to give up a home game and go all the way over to Ireland.
I don't know. One off going to Ireland, the motherland.
Oh, they'll enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they necessarily get excited at the prospect of giving up home games to go over.
I worry, not worry. But if I was a fan from Mexico who's just been absolutely religiously, you know, on this team for 50 years right now, and you go to Ireland, I'm pretty sure that the stadiums might not be ready yet.
They're still doing a ton of work in Mexico City, I think, on the stadium.
Yeah, so the thing is if you're going to Ireland now, it means you're probably not going to Mexico for a number of years. And that's if I'm a huge fan, the huge Mexican fan, I'm a little upset. But then it's like, hey, it's not our fault. I mean, the stadium's not ready, but that has to be a – you mean they're going to Ireland and not here? Because I'm guessing – I'm not guessing. I know there's more Mexican fans than there are Irish fans of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Probably. I mean, yeah, there's a Spanish announced team, for God's sake.
Yeah, he comes every home game, and I see when they're in Vegas. I see when they're in L.A., when they were in San Diego, when they're in Houston.
Arturo is his name. Shout-outs to Arturo.
Big fan, yeah. Big fan.
Big fan.
I don't know if he is. I don't know if he is.
Mucho grande. How do you say fan in Spanish? I got to Spanish 3. I should know that.
I got to Spanish 2.
Yeah, Spanish 3 in college, I learned very little, I'll be honest. Blame that on Penn State, I guess. But yeah, mucho grande. Muy grande, not mucho grande. See, my adjectives don't even agree right. I'm terrible.
You don't even need to do this anymore. You just say, Siri, how do you say... Whatever. What were you saying?
Siri, how do I say very big Steelers fan in Spanish? Let's see if she helps. In Spanish, very big Steelers fan
is gran fan de los Steelers. Oh, of course.
Gran fan de los Steelers. See? There you go.
Hey, why do you need that? Why do you need
You're right. I feel like an idiot now. All right, let's go back to the mailbag and see what people had to ask you this week. For your mailbag call. I like to start from the bottom because I think some of the best questions, I think you purposely take them and put the best questions at the bottom because I think you're smart. You're intuitive that way and you want people to read all the way through. I'm going to start with MJF Steeler. Is trading for Cooper Kupp realistic? What about a George Pickens for Cooper Kupp straight up trade? Feasible? Question mark. Likely.
Is that a little bit of a dick with that answer?
I don't think so. You said that's overvaluing Kupp and that no way in hell are you trading a 23-year-old for a 32-year-old who was awful down the stretch last year. You really can't get over the fact that Kupp was hurt, can you?
I mean, trust me, I hate to say this, but when he's on your fantasy football team, you tend to pay attention a little bit more than if he wasn't.
Is that what this is, Kaboom? You had Kupp in fantasy?
I just followed him pretty closely for the past year. And I've really seen him deteriorate other than a handful of games. So I just don't think you want to go that route unless I'm not going to say I don't want him. I just don't want to pay anything for him.
Well, I mean, if it's a fourth round pick and the Rams eat like $5 million of the salary. Yeah, absolutely. He's still a number two wide receiver in this league. And this team has a one who's kind of squirrely. And then a bunch of, fours?
Yeah, I hear you. I still don't want to pay a ton of money for him. And that's one thing Omar's good at, be able to get a guy like that and not break them, or at least force the other team to pay some of that salary.
That would be the key.
Last year, he did that with, remember William Jackson a couple years ago, I think he did with.
Who played all of what, like six snaps for this team, if that?
Snaps in practice, I think.
Yeah. Which, can we just go back to the Mike Williams trade? Sorry, because I know people are what the hell? How do you trade for that guy and then not you? I mean, one play really is effectively what his Steelers time boiled down to.
Yeah, one play in Baltimore at the end there, but.
Yeah, but I just don't get it. Where's the disconnect?
Maybe Aaron Rodgers was right. You know, when he was when they bring him in November, early November,
late October, early November, because that Washington game I want to say was late October.
Yeah, so I think that's when they started struggling running the ball, and when they started struggling running the ball, the ball down the field wasn't working or wasn't there, which that takes about 80% of his plays off the board. So maybe I'm making an excuse, but I'm not paying him $10 million, whatever he's doing.
That Washington game was November 10th. Why did I think it was so much earlier than it was? All right.
I thought they moved back trade deadline this past year.
Yeah, they keep moving it back to try and make it more and more impactful, and it seems to be working. Spencer13 on X asked if Troy Fautanu's going to live up to the first-round pick that he was.
Oh, I think so. I think he has a better opportunity than Broderick Jones at this point. Fautanu's a guy – I mean, you talk about personality-wise. He and Broderick Jones are night and day. Night and day. I'm not saying that Broderick Jones is – doesn't take anything serious or anything, but he likes to fool around, have fun. Fautanu's like businessman.
You know, yeah, it's business maturity.
And business. You know what I'm saying? So,
So the Steelers' offensive line is now a mullet. Party up front, or party in the business up front, party in the back.
And here's another thing is, and I love it from the wrestling until now, you can't go wrong with a Samoan offensive line.
No, you really can't.
Yeah,
a Samoan werewolf on the offensive line is helpful.
I mean, those guys. I trust him that he'll be able to. Well, they saw something in him within a span of like a week or two that the dumped Broderick Jones and said, "You're our starter." Imagine him having a full offseason to be healthy. I think he'll turn into a better player than Broderick, in my opinion.
Steelers frenzy on X wanted to know what you think the most surprising move of the offseason could be.
I can't remember what I wrote. Not signing TJ Watt. Didn't I write that?
Yeah, that's exactly what you
did. Yeah, that's shocking. I mean, there's no way. I think, and I've been saying this, they're going to pay him a couple grand more than whoever the highest paid average per season outside linebacker rush end is. If it's 3 years, if it's 4 years, whatever it is, they normally don't do four. It's usually three, five. I imagine he's a three-year guy. Three for what? 90? I don't know. I don't even know who the highest paid defensive end is. Is it Bosa? Edge rusher?
Let's go to the old spot rack, spot track. Does anyone know how to properly pronounce it?
I know that Mike Jannetty. I'm going to freaking text him and ask him how to pronounce it. So,
is that the guy that runs the site?
Yeah. I was on his podcast a couple times way back.
Then ask him. Hold on. Now my computer's going to freeze up.
I can do it.
Do it. You do that. I'll look through the questions.
What am I looking for again? I forget.
Yeah, it's paid defensive players in the league. Parsons is due for an extension too. Like,
TJ,
do you want to get a TJ deal done before a Parsons deal gets done, so that you're not paying whatever premium the Cowboys may go above and beyond to keep Parsons around for? That's like, get the TJ extension done earlier in the offseason, I think, would be the key. Don't let it sit around until July or August.
Do the Cowboys have enough money after Dak and CD?
Probably not, but they're going to do it anyway because they're the Cowboys. I mean,
I can't find it either. Whatever.
Good work by you.
Good work. Nick Bosa, 34.
Okay, so what's TJ get? 35. 32 and a half?
One. Three for 100.
Now, here's where I've traditionally had very little criticism of TJ Watt, because I think he's an absolute animal who can just totally destroy a game on the other side of the ball for the opposing offense. But that's going to happen more often. Like, I know a lot of times you end up paying guys at the end of their career for what they've done over the years. I don't have a problem with that. But, like, if you're going to be the highest paid defensive player in the league, I've got to see you, as he's done in the past, like single-handedly win a game for us a couple times a year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he needs help right now. I think he was hindered last year by teams overvaluing. I still think the worst thing that ever happened to TJ last year was he had that game in Atlanta to start it off. Then Arthur Smith referred to him as whatever, Superman or whatever he said. Mm-hmm. And ever since that point, I don't know if that clicked in somebody's mind or why it would click, but it seemed like he was getting extra help on that side to block him. I think they just need to do a better job to help him out a little bit, be a little bit fair, you know.
You surprised? 3-on-1
chipping, you have to get rid of that.
You surprised he finished as low as he did in Defensive Player of the Year voting?
People get Watt fatigue. I think that might be it. I don't know about Patrick Surtain being a Defensive Player of the Year.
He had a big season.
Still.
Helped that team get back to the playoffs for the first time in forever. I understand the quarterback had something to do with it, too. But
it's a strange. I mean, the whole thing, I think, get off topic here, I think there was a pretty weak Hall of Fame class.
It was. What? Sterling yeah. Sharp, Eric Allen. Who else?
Jared Allen. And
Jared Allen.
I forget. Yeah. Antonio Gates deserves it. But, I mean, they changed the rules to make it harder to get in. Then we complained that not enough people got in.
Oh, no. I have no problem with there being fewer people getting in. I tend to agree with the people that say it's become the Hall of Very Good. You know what
Eric
I mean?
Allen? I never would think of him off the top of my head.
That's what I mean. Like, very good player, and one of the better at his position for a year or two when he was active. But Hall of Fame, yeah. All right, one more question from the mailbag. How much will the largest contract – this is from EZ Pickens 412. How much will the largest contract given out to a free agent be this year, and what position group? Talking about this from the Steelers.
I have no idea what I write.
Jesus, Mark. Well, then tell me what you think now. Where do they spend the most money in free agency?
Maybe cornerback. Did I say cornerback? DJ Reader?
DJ Reed, yeah.
What did I say? Oh, I'm thinking of – what's his name? DJ Reed. That would make sense to me. That would make – I like Reader too, though.
Three years, $43.5 million. What's that come to? That's 13 – I can't do math that quick. That's $14.5 million or so?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Throw him up there in the corner, back next to Porter. You have your front seven intact. I mean, you can add a
he's only 28, too. So, yeah. I mean, you're not paying for a guy in his 30s.
I think you can add a cheaper defensive lineman in free agency and, you know, pretty much stay status quo on offense, to be honest with you. Maybe add a quarterback. Obviously, add a quarterback and a receiver, but nothing – out of control, I don't think. Plus, you have to sign. I mean, you got to sign a quarterback. You got to sign Watt. I mean, you got to find. I mean, I don't know. Do you sign Calvin Austin if you don't find somebody? I mean, that's still $8 to $10 million. Do you keep Jaylen Warren? What tag do you put on him? They're probably putting the original round tag on him, which would make it like 3.5. They're not putting the first round tender on him. So they still got money that has to go out.
So how do you feel? Well, two things. First of all, I am curious. DJ Reed is a nice projection. I like that. I just wonder with his size, how he'd hold up on the outside for, I think he's only like 5'9". He's a little dude, tough as nails, but a little dude.
Yeah,
like a Mike Hilton type. Like, are they going to be tempted to move him inside of the slot and then leave whoever the third corner is, you know, Trice or whoever on the outside?
It could.
Which is not could. What you spend $12.5 million, $13.5 million.
I mean, you can flip him inside and out. I mean, I don't know who it was a couple of years ago that they would move. Well, it might have been Hayden, not Hayden. they moved him from the outside to the inside, depending on third down, whatever conversions. You're going to play still 80% of the snaps, even if you're solely slot, right, for the most part.
So yeah.
Would be wasted. I mean, I would put him out there. I want a guy that can cover. I don't care if a guy can tackle. I want a guy that can cover first.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I need a guy that can cover and that can take on big receivers on the outside.
I don't really care about the 6'2", 6'3", corners. I mean, you got one of those. If you really need to match up with somebody, give me somebody who can cover.
Yeah, they didn't really do that a lot late this year, though. How often did they take Peasy and say, take that, put him on a guy and say, take him out of the game?
Problem is they didn't have enough talent in the secondary to play man. Effective man. So, and you play zone in this league, and you play a halfway decent quarterback, you're going to get picked apart.
And that's basically what happened. They've got to use Minka more, too. I know that was another question that somebody else asked.
They're going to switch around anything they do with him.
I just don't look. If he's playing a true center field and actually being aggressive and going after the ball, that's one thing. But maybe it is because, like you said, they didn't have the proper personnel to play man. When he's playing center field and just sitting back there waiting to tackle guys, which is what happened more often than not, or to get stiff-armed halfway through the seven layers of hell by Derrick Henry, then that's not what Minka's supposed to be. Minka's got to be a ball hawk, and he hasn't been that for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to play better than what he did. Well, he needs to produce splash. I mean, he had so much splash at first season. I think he had a pick the first time he was out in the field.
Yeah.
His first game went at San Francisco. He might have had two. He had something like that. We were just so accustomed to him making plays, and all of a sudden they disappeared. It's all of a sudden, what happened to him? I don't know. Maybe something, maybe not. But he does. In that position, you have to be able to make some more plays. I mean, and by accident, you know, so just by accident, you should be able to make some more plays. So
again, maybe it's on the other guys around him that he's spending too much time covering up for others' mistakes. That's probably a possibility too.
And you can't do that.
Yeah. One last, sorry, this will be the last one from the mailbag because you brought up adding other pieces in free agency. Sportsberg 412. Do the Steelers view Jalen Warren as I think he meant to say RB1. He just wrote RB. Or do they plan on drafting a running back high in the draft? I don't think they have the draft capital to spend a pick in the first three rounds on a running back. Unless Ashton Jeanty falls to 21. Like, I'm not drafting a running back in the first 2 days, I don't think.
I mean, Jalen Warren is capable, but you just haven't seen it consistently. I think they would much rather, with Jalen Warren back there, have that two-headed monster, whoever it would come from. I mean, there's not much in the free agent market that would woo you. So, I mean, you can get somebody third and fourth round and to be able to pair with him. So, if it's as deep as the class they're saying it is, but it's so hard, man. It's almost as hard as quarterback drafting. There's so many running backs you see that are late round picks that are good, but you multiply that by 10, and those are the ones that stink, right? You just have to pick the right one. So I don't think they view him as a pure QB running back one. He needs some help, but I think he's capable of doing it.
Capable, but I just don't see him as like an 18 carry a game kind of guy. But
maybe
if you have a decent compliment, I guess you roll into the year with him and Patterson. Yeesh. Thanks again. Got to thank all of our sponsors, the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, our friends at Southwest Greens, who I mentioned earlier, southwestgreenspa.com. And of course, if in these last few weeks of winter, the furnace goes kaput, or you're looking down the line to when it's going to heat up in the summer and you want to make sure the AC unit is all checked out and taken care of, call our guys at Impact HVAC. Go find them on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. Search that. You'll find Tony and his crew, who are great. They will come out and take care of everything you need. Like I said, whether it's the furnace not working in these last few weeks of winter, or with spring and summer right around the corner, believe it or not, getting the AC tuned up and checked before you get them fired up. Thanks to everybody. Next week, we're going to have a Super Bowl to talk about, Kaboom, and maybe the fallout from it. You want to do this on Monday morning again?
What do I have to do Monday?
You'll still be recovering from eating 50 slices of pizza.
Yeah, I'm, that's why I'm keep drinking here. My mouth is so like dry from this pizza.
And you'll be out in Indy later in the month for the combat, which I can't wait for.
We'll see what has to be said there. A whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah, probably, but it'll be good for you to get out there and get some FaceTime with Omar, right?
FaceTime. I get too much FaceTime.
If you'd like a t-shirt, we'll tweet out the link a little bit later. You can get the dry, wet, dry Kabali and Mac t-shirt. Make sure you're using the dude wipes properly. Or you can get Pittsburgh everywhere always. Thanks again to Mo from Cleveland, who showed up at Raw with his terrible towel, for joining us earlier. Thanks to all of you guys for the questions in the mailbag. And thanks to Kabali for managing to last the entire hour without having to use the bathroom after eating 50 slices of pizza for the best pizza in Pittsburgh contest.
I'm gonna be clogged up for a while.
Great. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Don't spend it on the throne like Kaboom. This has been another scintillating episode of Kabali and Mac. We'll talk to you next week, okay, friends? Bye now.